The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come.
Financial woes plague scores of millions. The same with governments, large and small. More and more people and nations see no way out. What about you? Do you need more money? How about eliminating debt? There is a way out. God will partner with you to solve all your financial problems. Already into the subject of tithing, we pick up from part one. Because few groups practice tithing, the average person understands little of its history or practice. Some might ask, wasn't tithing abolished? Or wasn't it just for the Jews or the Old Testament Israelites? Others feel tithing was little more than a ceremonial ordinance introduced by Moses, while still others have heard it was only a form of national civil taxation. Other religionists claim tithing was merely a way of caring for the Old Testament poor. Almost no one believes tithes are to be paid to a faithful New Testament ministry. All these ideas, except for the last, are wrong. They do, however, demonstrate the confusion that reigns over the subject of tithing. The modern nations descended from Israel are paying and will pay a terrible price because of this confusion. Catastrophic punishment is coming on the world because a rebellious mankind has ignored this law. It wants the blessings of obeying God without having to actually obey Him. Most are deceived into believing they can live any way they choose and then blame God when the blessings of peace, happiness, and prosperity are missing. Know this, any person who steps out in faith to obey God's tithing laws will be blessed and protected from horrific prophecies soon to strike this world. Through God's promise, he will escape the punishment to befall all nations. Some understand that tithing was practiced in Israel, where people were required to tithe on money, livestock, or grain products. What is less clear is what the New Testament says about tithing. First, we must explore the book that discusses the priesthood of ancient Israel. Hebrews has been called the book about the priesthood. I grew up hearing much about a dead Jesus with many depictions of him hanging crucified. I almost never heard how he was alive and sitting at the right hand of God. A few vaguely understood that he would return to earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I certainly never heard anyone describe Christ as God's high priest. Yet this is the office that Christ works through today, and Hebrews 7 contains instruction for financing his ministry. Christ's priesthood has always superseded and long preceded the Levitical priesthood of ancient Israel. True Christians have hope of eternal life because Jesus Christ has given them access to the Father. He has taken them inside the very throne room of God in heaven, within the veil, to where human beings have never been allowed before. Christ's role as high priest makes this possible. Notice Hebrews 6 and verse 20. Where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is still the active high priest of his New Testament church and ministry. At his first coming, he taught about the kingdom of God. The world focuses on his person instead of his message. The true gospel is about the coming world-ruling kingdom of God. After his ministry ended, Christ was crucified and became the Savior of mankind. Afterwards, he was resurrected to sit at God's right hand in heaven. Notice this, seeing we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. These are encouraging words. They show Jesus as both high priest and the living head of the true church. Many wonder, who was Melchizedek? This question has long puzzled Bible students. The beginning of Hebrews 7 makes absolutely plain that Melchizedek could be none other than Christ himself. The Moffat translation best renders after the order of Melchizedek as with the rank of Melchizedek. Christ held the rank of Melchizedek when he received tithes from Abraham during the times of the patriarchs. How and where does Christ work today? Ancient Israel did not preach the gospel to the world, and it did not have a ministry teaching God's truths to all nations. Israel was one physical nation and did not have the Spirit of God. The Levitical priesthood carried out burnt offerings, animal sacrifices, and other physical rituals. The arduous labor of the Old Testament priesthood was very different from the work required of the New Testament ministry. In short, the Levitical priesthood had a lower human rank, far below the spiritual divine rank of Christ as Melchizedek. We discussed how God financed the Levitical priesthood. It should now also be clear that Jesus Christ, as Melchizedek, received tithes many centuries before the Levites appeared. An already existing tithing system simply continued through this priesthood and passed to the New Testament ministry. Hebrews 7, 1-5 begins comparing the Levitical and Melchizedek priesthoods. Remember, tithing did not start with Moses and the Levites. Notice, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now consider how great this man was. It should be correctly translated, this one was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. Abraham was no different than either a New Testament Christian or any citizen of Israel. He paid tithes to a high priest, Christ. The Levitical system always had a high priest. Moses' older brother Aaron was the first human to hold this office. All Levitical priests served under whoever was the high priest at the time. Tithing is not merely something practiced during the period of the Levitical priesthood. This practice has existed as long as there has been a high priest, Christ or Levitical, to receive tithes. Tithing, then, is God's system for financing His work, no matter the age in which His servants live. Notice that Melchizedek, quote, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, abides a priest continually. Because Christ, as Melchizedek, had no beginning, he existed as a priest from the time of Adam. Notice he abides continually. Christ is still high priest of his people. Hebrews 7 goes on to address which priesthood supersedes the other today. While first century Christians needed little instruction about tithing as a mandatory, permanent law, they did need to be carefully taught that the Melchizedek priesthood of Jesus Christ had been restored and had, therefore, replaced the Levitical priesthood. Which priesthood, Levitical or Melchizedek, does the Bible consider superior? Carefully notice. But he, Melchizedek or Christ, whose descent is not counted from them, the Levites, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him. And without all contradiction, the less, that's Abraham, is blessed of the better, that's Melchizedek, and as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, follow carefully, paid tithes in Abraham. For he, again that's Levi, was yet in the loins of his father, or his great-grandfather Abraham, when Melchizedek met him. Christ, Melchizedek, was not descended from the Levites. As God, Jesus, who is a non and pre-Levite, supersedes the authority of the Levitical priesthood. The Melchizedek priesthood has precedence as the greater, superior priesthood. Now again, enforces God's continuing priesthood under Christ, it requires financing. We can now read the all-important concluding verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. This should be clear. The law requiring people to tithe to the Levitical system was changed in the New Testament. There are no assigned Levites today, yet tithes still belong to God. So he had to redesignate to whom they must be paid. Technically, it is correct to say that the law, as it was prior to the Levitical priesthood, has been restored, changed back to the way it was from the beginning. It is helpful to understand the overall reasons for the book of Hebrews. First, it was written to prepare the New Testament church for the fall of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 69 and 70. The Levitical priesthood would soon pass from existence, creating a dilemma for those who knew tithes belonged to God and must somehow be paid. Second, was to teach the nature and function of the priesthood. Third, was to explain that Christ's office was above the office of Aaron and predated it to the Melchizedek priesthood, which had no beginning. Consider what King David wrote. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. You, that's David, are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is actually a prophecy that David, at the resurrection of the dead when Christ returns, will also be considered a priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is fascinating. David was a Jew, not a Levite, and yet he will one day be a priest in the Melchizedek priesthood. No wonder Revelation 5:10 says, "And has made us, true Christians, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Faithful Christians with Christ and David will reign on earth as kings and priests. This is because Christ is King of kings and High Priest of priests. Sadly, few hear of this part of the Christian's reward. While Christ is the greatest king and the greatest priest, it is all true Christians who will be the other kings and the other priests ruling with him. What a staggering promise. Christians faithful to this understanding are kings and priests in training. Describing the church, the Apostle Peter wrote, quote, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." After Christ returns, tithes will be paid to all the other priests who qualify to comprise this priesthood. None who are unwilling to pay tithes to Christ today, as their high priest now, could ever be used later in God's coming priesthood. They will have disqualified themselves to receive tithes because they were unwilling to pay them. Tithing has always been God's law. We previously discussed how governments collect taxes. In most countries, people do not physically hand their taxes to the country's leader in its capital city. It goes to regional offices that collect revenue on behalf of the government. Companies are the same. They have collectors who act as their representatives. These function by the authority of or in the name of the company. If a customer pays a collector, he considers himself to have paid the company, not merely its representative. And no customer considers himself to have paid the salary of the collector, by the way, but rather a bill or invoice owed to the company. The company pays the collector's salary. In a sense, God owns the greatest company in the universe. He employs representatives, or collectors, who receive the payment for bills or invoices the company has sent the customer. In essence, God has sent a bill to every human being on earth. As with customers of a company that sends invoices of differing amounts, Depending upon the size of the purchase, God invoices people differing amounts, whatever is exactly 10% of their gross income. When a person pays this to God, the bill is satisfied until the next invoice is received. Tithing works in this way. Each time you tithe, you have paid the latest in a long string of ongoing regular bills sent to you from God. Actually, His bill is always to be the first one paid. God is not willing to stand in line behind other creditors who represent mere human organizations to whom the tithe payer may also have existing or ongoing obligations. Remember, God gives 90% of your income. What other organization would do this? Another important principle to note. Tithes paid to God work differently than money put in a bank. If you place your money in a bank, you expect that bank to keep careful track of the funds you have deposited and to give you a periodic accounting. The bank remains responsible to you for keeping proper track of your funds. The reason is simple. Though the bank may be holding your money, it is still your money. The same with stocks or other investments. Brokers account to the investor. Tithing is different. Since tithes belong to God, once they are paid, God, or His representative, is not obligated to explain exactly how or in what fashion they were spent. One should never pay tithes to God's representatives and then try to supervise or otherwise watch over the way the ministry or headquarters spends them. The ministry answers to God because it is God who employs them, not the people who paid the tithes. God owns His company, and He has the authority to hire or fire His employees, His ministers. Tithe payers have no voice in how they are spent. But who are God's representatives? How does one find them? How are they identified? A tithe payer must be absolutely sure he is paying tithes to where God is working. This requires careful thought and research. It is not a decision to be made lightly. God's tithes belong to Him, and giving them to those who are not His representatives is the same as not paying them. If someone owes you $200 and, in ignorance or through misunderstanding, gives that $200 to someone else, you did not receive your $200. Upon reminding the person of this, would you be satisfied if he said, "I'm sorry, I paid your $200 to someone else. They said they represented you." Would you not say, "That's regrettable, but you still owe me the $200 because they did not represent me"? Of course you would. And so would God. You cannot give God's tithes to those who do not represent Him. There are many ministers in the churches of this world. They all profess to be Christian to represent Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, 13-15, however, says that Satan has his ministers also. These ministers do not appear as Satan's. None say, "I am the devil's minister, you should follow me." For the most part, they are just as deceived as those who follow them. Yet they are counterfeits. They speak and preach in syrupy, sanctimonious, and pious-sounding language that they suppose is spiritual. Because Revelation 12:9 says that Satan deceives the whole world, his ministers greatly outnumber the true ministers of God. These men come in sheep's clothing, pretending to serve God. Paul recorded, "Prove all things and hold fast that which is good." Christ said the only way to prove ministers is by their fruits. Notice, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits." This is plain warning to all. Do not be deceived. All that glitters is not gold, and all who come in the name of Christ are not His ministers. God has His ministers and uses them to lead, under Christ's guidance, His church. Jesus said, "I will build my church." This church is a spiritual body of specially called out believers. He also said, the gates of hell, meaning the grave, shall not prevail against it. There is only one true church, and our literature explains how to recognize, how to identify that church from the nearly 2,000 different professing Christian organizations built by men, not Christ. It is only in this church that Christ works. No one need be confused. Christ's church is described as a persecuted little flock, hated by this world for teaching the truth. However, since Christ promised his church could not die, it must exist somewhere on earth today. It is your responsibility to prove where it is so you do not give God's tithes to a thieving imposter. It is only to the faithful ministry of the true church, the only church Christ built, that tithes should be paid. Those laboring full-time in the work of God are hired and paid directly by God. Since tithes cannot be sent to heaven, he designates they go to his earthly representatives. You must prove who is teaching the full truth of all God's doctrines. You must prove who faithfully proclaims the gospel of the soon coming kingdom of God to the world. We might ask further, how does God spend tithes? What does he do with them? Christ gave his church work to do. Go you and teach all nations, Jesus said, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. This responsibility has never changed in the nearly 2,000 years since Christ explained it. On the World to Come program, and in our many publications, we do this. We teach all the truths of God, no exceptions, no matter how unpopular. Jesus taught his disciples many truths, all things that his church has preserved and continues therefore to teach all over the world. This is not a duty his ministry can shirk. Nor can it go to the world with humanly devised doctrines, ignoring God's doctrines commanded to them by Christ. Though ancient Israel was called the church in the wilderness, in the book of Acts, it was still a fleshly, civil nation having no need for a spiritual ministry. God selected the Levites to work for him and take care of the physical duties, rituals, sacrifices, ceremonies, and ordinances, nationally and locally, of all 12 tribes. The New Testament ministry no longer does these things. Ancient Israel did not have the Spirit of God. The priesthood simply ministered to the physical needs of that single nation. Their responsibility did not reach outside Israel to all nations. God was not yet working with people from all regions of the world. Today, he is. True ministers have been called and trained by God. We have them in all regions of the world. Led by his Spirit, their ministry is of a spiritual nature. Christ gave an extraordinary commission to his church at the end of the age. Notice, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We saw this included the other knowledge of all things he had commanded them. But it is God's world-ruling kingdom under Christ and the saints that receives special emphasis before the end come. The world lies in chaos. It is confused about who and what man is and the purpose God is working out on earth. War, famine, disease, poverty, and other problems grip the planet. This world is held captive by an unseen being who holds sway over its values, customs, beliefs, governments, and religions. The world is blinded to the purpose God is working out. God's work costs money. His church must continually hire more staff and ministers to perform the many functions of a growing worldwide organization. We publish a vast number of books, booklets, magazines, and other literature teaching God's truth. The Church of God has members around the world who must be fed God's truth by faithful ministers and elders. The number God is calling is expanding and will continue to as the age draws to a close. Jesus said, "The night comes when no man can work." This is true of his final work. Soon, this age will be over and the glorious return of Jesus Christ will have occurred. We have little time left to finish God's work. Through the biblical law of tithing, God finances it. Doing his work is the way he chooses to spend his tithe. God calls people into his church so they can help in preaching and publishing the true gospel to the whole world. You may say, "I never knew about tithing." That may be true, but ignorance of the law has never been an excuse for disobedience. The true God is very merciful, however. He freely forgives those who wish to change and seek him. I have now done my part. I have taught you the truth about tithing. You have been given essential knowledge that you must act on in order to be given more. Jesus said, "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." Further, notice this warning to all. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also shall be cut off." We will all be held accountable for what we do with what we know. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. These are sobering statements straight from God. A calling, read John 6:44 and 65, is occurring when one understands the truth upon reading or hearing it. You must decide if God is calling you to take part in this great worldwide effort. You must decide if you are willing to allow God to train you to become a king and a priest. Do not worry over the size of your tithes and offerings. The story of the widow's mites has an all-important lesson for everyone. Even small amounts, when paid faithfully, carry much weight with God. I have seen many inspiring examples of people who had little but gave much. God always blessed them with more in the end. Tithing is a law. Like any other law, there is an automatic cause and effect relationship. Why do you keep the law of gravity? Because if you break it, you know there will be an immediate, visible, and sometimes painful effect. Jumping from a 10-story building brings real consequences. The tithing law is no different. If we break it, it breaks us. But if we keep it, it keeps us. But there is one fundamental difference between tithing, which is a spiritual law, and physical laws. Breaking spiritual laws rarely brings immediate effects on the offender. There is a delayed penalty, but a penalty nonetheless. Here are three books you need. First is Where is the True Church and Its Incredible History? We referenced the True Church earlier. This gives the big picture. Next is Which is the True Gospel? Also referenced earlier. And finally is End All Your Financial Worries. You will be glad you read them. I urge you to obey God's tithing command and reap the benefits. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To learn more or to find a local congregation, contact us to receive a personal response from a minister.